Love you, Brother Crum. Hallelujah, church. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Woo! Oh, I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Be finding your Bible, John chapter 3, verse 8. John chapter 3, verse 8. I give great honor to my pastor, Brother Stevenson, and his family. Let's pray that God will give them the rest that they need from the rigors of life and ministry, because it is rigorous. It's very rigorous. And we want them to come back well rested. I give honor to the ministry and the leadership of this church. I give honor to you, the good saints of God. I love you. I'm so thankful for the church. We just passed Veterans Day, and you know, and some of you veterans, you'll say this. You'd say that this country did way more for me than I did for this country. Well, that's how I feel about the church. The church has done way more for me than I could ever do for her. Thank God for this old ship of Zion. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to the word of the Lord. The Bible said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and where it goeth." So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I'm going to speak for a few minutes tonight with this title in mind. This is not just the wind. If you would, just focus with me on the Lord for a minute. Pray with me. Let's go to Him in prayer. God, we need Your anointing in here, Lord. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, Lord. The name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. Lord, we run into it tonight, God. Lord, we're here tonight, God, Lord, with one agenda, and that's that You might be glorified, and Lord, that You might change lives, Lord, that You might touch somebody, God. And Lord, we give You honor and glory and praise for it. And the church said, in Jesus' name, clap your hands, you may be seated. This is not just the wind. It was late in the day on Thursday, August 29th, 1776, 247 years ago. General George Washington and his fledgling Continental Army were trapped in the Brooklyn Heights in New York along the East River. Across from the island of Manhattan, Great Britain's redcoats, a well-trained army, the British Empire, the greatest army on earth, twice the size of our farmers and ranchers and our peasants, far better fortified than the colonists and the ragtag militia. And they'd been pummeling the Americans for days during the what would become known as the Battle of Long Island. And General William Howe's British forces were positioned on Staten Island, 400 ships across New York Harbor, readying and raring to ignite the final fatal blow. During his most recent attack, nearly 20% of Washington's troops had been either killed, injured, or captured. And oftentimes they would find Washington kneeling in prayer, calling out to the Almighty God. 9,000 American soldiers remained, and barring a miracle, the Revolutionary War was over. But a miracle, exactly what happened. Just as the American troops fell back into Brooklyn, likely assuming their sorry fate was sealed, the clouds rolled in, the skies darkened, the rain began to fall, and the wind shifted. And a dense fog rolled in as day became night. Recognizing an opening to escape across to Manhattan, Washington ordered his troops to seize the moment. Soldiers were ordered into boats. The oars were wrapped in towels in order to muffle the sound of the wood smacking in the water. According to accounts of the night, the fog was so thick the men could see less than 6 feet in front of them. By the time the morning came and the fog had lifted, all 9,000 troops were safely across the East River and into the Manhattan and points beyond. In the days following the daring escape, George Washington and his troops talked about the God of Providence and the miracle-working God that had brought the fog in. Previously, bedraggled and demoralized, they took the night's turn as a sign that God's favor had brought the wind and shifted the fog in. And it saved them and it gave them energy. And from the beginning, that's the way it is with God. And God has always chosen to work in mysterious ways. And we know the end of the Revolutionary War. We know that it wasn't the end. We know that they won. Hallelujah. And it wasn't just the wind that night. That's because this is not just the wind. This is the Holy Ghost. And that was the Holy Ghost that night. And we know that we fight a far greater foe in our time now than they did back then. We may not be raging with guns and with bombs, but we fight a foe that's trying to destroy this country. But not just this country. He's trying to destroy the church of the living God. But this is not just the wind tonight, church. This is the Holy Ghost. We've got something that the world don't have and that the world needs. Hallelujah. They need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because without it, they're not going to make it. But we are the church of the living God, and we're going to get it to them. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And on through Genesis. And God said, and God said, and God said. And all that was created was done by God opening his mouth and speaking. When God opens his mouth, the wind blows. The elements move. They move to form and to create whatever God wishes to be created. But it's not just the wind. It's the Holy Ghost. And he's the same God today as he was back then. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's the God that we serve tonight. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God breathed. The wind blew and man was created. Genesis 8:1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing. Oh, that merciful God. And all the cattle that was with him in the ark and all the other animals. And God made the wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. Genesis 41:27. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. It's not just the wind tonight, church. Exodus 10:13, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. He brought them in to persecute Pharaoh. And Exodus 10:19, Pharaoh had said, tell Moses to come back and I'll let the people go. Call upon your God and I'll stop this. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. And there remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. This is not just the wind. This is the Holy Ghost, church. This is the spirit that we have tonight. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. If it dwell in your mortal body. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Exodus 14:21-25. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night. And made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand. And a wall unto them on their left hand. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and all his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillars of fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. I'm telling you tonight, church, he hadn't changed. He's the same God today that he was back then. It doesn't matter what you face tonight. It matters not whether it's cancer, or whether it's sickness, or whether it's a lost loved one, or whether you've got an empty bank account. Your God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Because this is not just the wind. This is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. My God. It doesn't matter what the enemy does. It does not matter. The weapon may be formed, but it's not going to prosper. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The children of Israel had lived in bondage for 400 years because a king arose in Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he began to persecute the people of God. But God always has a deliverer. There's always a Moses that comes on the scene. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I want you to consider tonight that Pharaoh was wicked to the core. But God is the one that hardened his heart. He said, I'm not going to let God's people go. I'm going to punish them. He got more, made them go out and get their own straw. Give them more bricks. Make them do more work. Put the heavy burden on them. And God saw it. Because he's a holy and he's a righteous God. And his people are his peculiar treasure. And I can assure you that when the world rises up against the church, that God rises up. And when he does, hey, he'll harden their heart. Payback from the Lord, that's something I don't want tonight. Hallelujah. I'm never going to be accused of persecuting a child of God. I can't imagine where I would be, but God has a way. And thank God we live in the age of grace. He's a merciful God now. But I can assure you that he's coming back. There's going to be a day when he returns and his feet are going to split the Mount of Olives. And he's going to be a God that brings judgment on the earth. And he's going to open his mouth and it's going to destroy. He's going to breathe on them and out of his mouth is going to proceed a two-edged sword. And the valley of Megiddo is going to be filled with blood to the horse's bridle. God knows what he's doing tonight. He hadn't changed. He's the same God. And it's not just the wind, it's the Holy Ghost tonight. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got this treasure in earthen vessels tonight. But we got to use it. Because God is a spirit. And he's chosen through the centuries to work in mysterious ways. He's chosen to work through the elements. He's chosen to work through the wind. He's chosen to work through people. He's always chosen to work through people. That's the way God is. Moses and Aaron, they went to Pharaoh. Say unto him, let my people go. It was Moses who lifted his hands at the Red Sea. You see, God had a man, but that man had to do something. He couldn't just sit back and say, well, God will save me, or God will do this, or God will do that. He had to do what God said do. He had to be obedient to the Lord. Hallelujah. It was Moses that lifted his hands when the Amalekites came against Israel. It was Aaron and Hur that helped stay his hands. They put the rock under his arms to hold him up. As long as his hands were lifted, Israel prevailed. When they dropped, the Amalekites prevailed. We got to keep our hands up, church. We got to keep them lifted tonight. God is not changed. If we want to move a God, if we want a revival, we got to lift our hands. We got to run the aisles. We got to do what the elders did. We got to do what them people did when they had the brush arbors. We got to worship God. It's going to cost us. It's going to be a price that's going to be paid. But if we want revival, if we want it bad enough, God will give it to us. But we're going to have to pay the price. We're going to have to go to the Red Sea. We're going to have to lift our hands. And we're going to have to help one another. Because we're not going to get it without doing something. We're going to have to go to the prayer room. Hallelujah. We're going to have to go to the prayer room. I can tell you one thing. You can tell when the pastor's not in the prayer room. It just ain't the same. Hallelujah. But when pastor's not in there, we're going to have to throw another log on the fire, Brother Black. We're going to have to do more. We got to do this because God said, you are the people with whom the ends of the earth have come upon. He has called us into the kingdom for such a time as this. And we've got the Holy Ghost. It's not just the wind tonight. We're not just biding time. We got to occupy till He comes. We got to win our world tonight. We got to win them. We got to do everything we can. I saw a man at the store, invited him to church. I told him, I said, God will enter into your life. God, he'll do things for you that no man can do. I said, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to come to the house of the Lord. You're going to have to get up and come to God's house. You're going to have to go to an altar. You're going to have to find out who this God is, because He can't save you unless you do something. You could sit there all day, like the story was told about the hurricane in Katrina, whenever they said that the man was in his yard and the water was coming up, and the police came by and they said, get in, the flood's coming. God will save me. And then the water got knee deep. And then the game wardens came by and they said, get in the boat. He said, God's going to save me. Then the water was up to the rooftop and he climbed up on top of the house and the Coast Guard came. Get in the helicopter. God's going to save me. And then he died. He got before the Lord and he said, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent a car, I sent a boat, and I sent a helicopter, stupid. You got to do, I sent everything to you. You got to do something. Hallelujah. Because it does not matter what we know, we got to do something with it. Knowledge is not just power. Knowledge is power if we use it. We've got to apply it. We've got to use the knowledge that we know. I knew that Jesus Christ was Savior and Lord. I can tell you, boy, they were singing those songs about how He changed me, how He saved me, how He brought me out of the grave. I can tell you one thing, whenever you was a drunkard and whenever you was a person that didn't know God and when you didn't know nothing about God and the Lord came into your life and caused you to be born again of the water and of the Spirit and He gave you a new heart and He gave you a new mind and all of a sudden you looked around and the trees didn't look the same. Oh my God, that's an oak tree. I never seen an oak tree like that, because all things became new. And until you come to an altar and you truly repent of your sins and you go into the waters of baptism in Jesus' name after repentance, it ain't going to matter. It's just religiosity. All it is just getting wet. Hallelujah. You got to do something with that knowledge. And then to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible said, is sin. God wants us to do something for Him, because He has given us the Holy Ghost tonight. He's given us the Spirit. He sends the wind of the Spirit. But it's not just the wind. It's the Holy Ghost. He'll orchestrate stuff. He'll drive you places in your life. And you won't even understand what He's doing. You'll ask Him, Lord, lead me and guide me into all truth. God, order my steps. All of a sudden, one job will close. Another job will open. All of a sudden, there'll be a man. Hey, what do you believe? It's that simple. God works in very mysterious ways. And that's not just a slogan. It's the truth. It's the truth. His ways are higher than our ways. So high. They're so much higher than our ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth. The worst thing that I could ever do is try to figure God out. Or put God in a box. That's the thing that we cannot do. We've got to allow God to lead us and guide us. When the Spirit draws, we got to do something. Otherwise, it's like the Pool of Bethesda. The waters were troubled so that they could get a miracle. But they wasn't able to get into the water. We got to do something. When the waters is troubled, that's the time we got to move. When the winds are blowing, that's when we got to do something for the Lord. When there's trouble in somebody's life, you can bank on this. When somebody's going through hell, you can just about always bank on it that God's up to something. It's been said 1,000 times, when we down to nothing, God's up to something. God is God. And I can tell you tonight that the wind blows and the Lord leads us and guides us and He directs us. And if we'll just be sensitive, if we'll just listen to what God's trying to do, He'll lead us to a hungry heart. He'll lead us to a lost sinner. He'll lead us to an altar, because we have to keep ourselves on an altar. Paul said that I've been in this, and that we don't fight the air like other people do. He said, I have to keep myself on an altar unless I become a castaway. We've got to keep ourselves saved, and then we've got to save others. We've got to proclaim the Word of God every single day of our life. Exodus 15:10, thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. We don't have to fight our battles tonight. God is fighting them for us. Let the enemy rage. Let him attack. Let him form the weapons. He can't defeat the church. The church is the most powerful entity on planet Earth. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. She's unmatched. She's the bride of Christ. She's the champion that will never be defeated. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to stand on God's word. The winds might blow in the world and they may blow hard against me, but I'm going to stand on God's word. His word said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. And as he was with Moses and as he was with Joshua, so shall he be with us all the days of our life. No man shall be able to stand before us all our days. All we got to do is keep our hand on that gospel plow and keep looking straight ahead, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and doing what God said do. To love one another as I have loved you. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Hallelujah. That's the way that the world's going to... How will they know you are my disciples? Because you have loved one for another. Hallelujah. I love the brothers and sisters in Christ. I love the church. I love the people of God. Hallelujah. They the apple of God's eye. They the apple of my eye too. And you got to have that perspective. If you don't have that perspective, then you ain't right with God. You got to love the church. You got to love the brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I thank God tonight that y'all been patient with me. Praise God. I've been here a long time now. And I thank y'all so much for being so gracious. And I've learned to act a little bit better. I've learned not to open my mouth so much. I've learned not to pop off so much. It's the Holy Ghost. It's not just the wind. And these gray hairs, they're helping. Hallelujah. They're helping me tonight. What few I got left. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said, why don't you just shave it all off? I said, I ain't shaving my head. I ain't shaving my head, Brother Black. I'm going to keep what I got. You said use what you got. That's what we got to do tonight. Hallelujah. But the church of the living God, hallelujah, nothing can stand against the church. If we will just be what God called us to be, if we'll just stand up to the enemy, if we'll just walk to the door of our house and open the door and stand flat-footed on the door jamb and say, devil, you're not coming into my house. I plead the blood of Jesus over this house. And on the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, get out. And he's got to go. Because the devil fears and trembles at the mention of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil fears and trembles at you, a child of God, because of what you got inside of you. You got the Holy Ghost. It ain't just the wind. You got the Holy Ghost tonight. And every devil in hell is scared to death of you. Hallelujah. We've got what it takes, church. He's given us all that pertaineth unto life and godliness tonight. We just have to put our hand on that old plow. And we got to keep digging. And we got to keep digging. And we got to keep digging. And we got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And we got to get up tomorrow and we got to do it again. and then we got to get up the next day and do it again. We got to keep our hand into the hand of the Master. Hallelujah. And I love God tonight, but I love Him because He loved me first. What a God that we serve tonight. The Scripture said, while we were yet without strength, that Christ died for us. He didn't just die, though. He went to that cross. He paid the price. He paid the price for all the pain that you would ever endure. He paid the ultimate price. There's all the pain that we could even consider going through, whether it be in the body or whether it be mental anguish or whatever the case might be. That crown of thorns that was mashed on His head. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Hey, by His stripes ye are healed. I mean, the cat of nine tails that just shred His body. The unimaginable that happened to Him. He was unrecognizable. Hallelujah. And He carried His own cross. This man of sorrows, He endured all. The Bible said that He endured it with joy. The Scripture said the joy that was set before Him. And he went all the way. He didn't stop. He went all the way, paid the price. And hallelujah. And they put Him in a tomb. And the breath of God breathed into that tomb. And that body came alive. Hallelujah. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem because the wind of God breathed into that dead body. And hallelujah, our Savior came back to life. But that wasn't just the wind. That was the Holy Ghost. And that's the same Spirit that's in us tonight. That's what God gave us. Hallelujah. Samuel 2, 22 and 9. There went up a smoke out of the nostrils and fire out of the mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Darkness was under His feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. And He was seen upon the wings of the wind. He rode on the wind, but He's not the wind. He's the Holy Ghost. He's a spirit. God is a spirit. And we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we have that. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. We're the people of the name of Jesus. We're the people of the Holy Ghost. We are those people tonight. But we've got to use what God gave us. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. I want to be a son of God tonight, Brother Casey. I want to be a son of God tonight because there'll be a man on a drilling rig somewhere that will be looking for answers. And you've got the answers, hallelujah, because you've got the words of life tonight. And what is the Word? The Word is God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is the Holy Ghost. You've got the Holy Ghost tonight. You've got everything you need. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Brothers and sisters, the wind is something that blows. And we perceive it, right? We can perceive when the wind's blowing. We can feel it. We can see the trees rustling. We know it. But in our day, we need to be able to perceive the moving of God and the voice of God. When God speaks, we got to be able to perceive the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not hear the voice of a stranger. The centurion, who was a Gentile, he went to Jesus. He said, I'm a man in authority, and I tell this one go here and that one go there. He was telling Jesus, I know that you are the man that's in authority. He said, I've got a servant in my house that's sick. Speak the word and he'll be healed. The Bible said Jesus marveled at his faith. He said, not so great a faith have I seen in all of Israel. Hallelujah. But this Gentile, he had faith. He understood the time that he was in. Jesus rebuked the religious people. He said, you can discern the wind, but you can't discern the time that you're living in. We know the time we're living in. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last hours. They're converging on Israel. All the things that are happening, earthquakes, floods. He's using the elements again. Hallelujah. He's causing all kinds of havoc in the earth. The earth and all the pangs, the birth pangs that are taking place. But it's not just the wind. It's the Holy Ghost. He's getting ready for his return. It's going to happen. The scripture said, in an hour that you think not, we got to be ready. We got to be ready. We got to have our lamps full of oil tonight. We can't be like those 10 virgins and 5 of them let their lamps run out of oil. The 5 wise, the 5 unwise. Hey, we got to be in that wise section tonight. Hallelujah. We got to come to an altar every time, every church service. There has to be a move of God. We don't have one service to waste. We don't have one altar service to waste. I got to get my lamp full and I got to keep it full. Hallelujah. Praise God. God, he spoke the word and it was done. It's up to us, church. God said in his word, calling things that be not as though they were. I get up every day and I say, my sons and daughters are filled with the Holy Ghost. My sons and daughters are filled with the Holy Ghost. My sons and daughters are filled with the Holy Ghost. My grandchildren are full of the Holy Ghost. God, Lord, you promised in your word, Lord. You said, for the promise is unto me and to my children. And all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Lord, you said it now. God, you said it. I didn't. In Numbers 23:19, Lord, your word said God is not a man that he would lie. Hallelujah. Lord, you said this word now. Now, God, fill my children with the Holy Ghost. We got to speak it into existence. We got to speak it. We got to call things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. Catahoula Parish is going to have revival. Hallelujah. Harrisonburg's going to have revival. Sandy Lake's going to have revival. The church down the road's going to have revival. We're going to have a Holy Ghost revival in Catahoula Parish. Hallelujah. Sons and daughters are going to be born. We're going to weep between the porch and the altar. Zion's going to travail. God's going to have his way in Catahoula, LaSalle, Concordia, Franklin. God's going to have his way in America because he's God and he's got the last say. Hallelujah. And he commands things to happen. He's the one that does it, not me, not we ourselves. He created us and not we ourselves. We serve a living God tonight. Hallelujah. We got to step out onto the bow of the boat tonight. And we got God saying, this is what we got to do. Church, let's stand. We're fixing to just let God touch somebody and we're going to have an altar call and we're going to let the Holy Ghost have its way. But listen, God is saying tonight, church of the living God, saint of the living God, you are the one, you've got the Holy Ghost. It's not just the wind. It ain't just hot air that you're blowing out of your mouth when you pray. But you've got to step out onto the bow of the boat. And you've got to command the wind to be still. You've got to command the storm to stop. Because on the other side, there's a legion. Legion's got to be saved. Legion's out there waiting on us. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting for? God's waiting on us. Hallelujah. But we got to step out onto the bow of the boat. Come with me to the altar and let's just touch God for a minute.